Amen. We thank God for raising us up in the midst of moments that it's tough. Good morning. I'm Reverend Leah McIntosh. It's good to be with you here at Grace. Thank you to Pastor Jeremy for the invitation to come this morning to worship and pray, to simply be with one another after a trying week, and to think about what it means to be committed to Jesus and the church that we are collectively. The church is not the building, although it is wonderful. The church is not just the lights and the cameras and the live stream, and it is wonderful. We are the church. And so I am encouraged today and always because we together live out the message of Jesus and change the world to be what God would have it to be. So again, welcome this morning. Thank you. And to all of those who are praying with and for us, for Pastor Jeremy, and for all of those who are with us in spirit, we give God thanks. Let me share a bit about who I am as we go to God in our message. There should be a couple of pictures on the screen. As you can see, I am a Mizzou grad. So go Tigers. There was one person in the sanctuary today I saw with a Mizzou Tiger sweatshirt on. So since Jeremy's not here, I figured we'd go ahead and just say, go Tigers. We did win yesterday. Amen. God has not forgotten about us. I also bring you greetings from St. Paul Theological Seminary, from our bishop, Bob Farr, who I work directly with as a part of the Missouri Conference. It's good to be with you. And from our family, you see my tribe there on the screen. We live right here in Lee Summit and have for almost 20 years. Our children go to school in Lee Summit, so shout out to all of the teachers and administration in our school district who pour out their hearts for our children every day. And with that heart, I come to you as a neighbor, as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, and one who is on the journey with you together. As we think about what it means to be the church in today's world, I was reminded that Jesus' disciples asked the same questions that we often ask. I imagine them saying, Jesus, what do we do now? Jesus, we never expected to be in the midst of a tumultuous time. What do we do now? And Jesus had words for us. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles or your Bible app on your phone, or follow along with us on the screens as we go to Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. Hear these words in the midst of what we're going through today. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of Jesus, the word of God, for us, the people of God. And so we give thanks. What do these words mean for us today? Well, let me share another picture with you of a brick building. This is a picture of the grade school where I grew up. Anybody from a small school, maybe in a small town? This building was all of 5 classrooms. It seemed so big at the time. in this little five-room schoolhouse in St. Louis, it was the place, it was a Christian school. It was the place where I first learned to pray. Think back to the first time you learned to pray. Now, I know my parents, my mother, grandmother, father prayed over me at home. But if anybody went to Christian school, it was the place you had to demonstrate that you knew how to pray, because they would ask you to pray out loud. And we had to know the Lord's Prayer. And in the midst of that, I remember our teachers challenging us not to just recite the words. Do you know the words to the Lord's Prayer? Some of us can recite it without even thinking about it today. But to really know what the words mean. And in today's world, it is an act of faith to pray the Lord's Prayer. So go on a journey with me. I believe our prayers will have a different meaning when we really understand what Jesus was challenging his disciples to pray and what we are being challenged to do today. So let's go forward. Verse 9 of this scripture simply says, "This then is how you should pray." And the Lord's Prayer begins with a word, "our." Say that with me, "our." It's revolutionary to think that when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "First start with our." I imagine them saying, but Jesus, what about me? What about me, Jesus? I have needs. Is God with me?" And Jesus says, "Wait, start with our." Notice that the Lord's Prayer has no individual petitions. There is no me, there is no my, it is simply our. As people of faith, we begin our prayer with our Father, our God, Abba, Father of all, Creator of all. If you can say that, it's a big deal. In the midst of a week where people have separated into their own parties, where people have separated into their own ideologies, to pray as people of faith, our Father, is an act of courage. It means in the midst of prayer, there is no black or white. There is no liberal or conservative. There is no young and old. It is simply our. God, we come to you this morning asking to be unified as one people of faith, as one people of this country, no matter how we voted on Tuesday. That's what praying the Lord's Prayer is about. Jesus continues, and the picture that you saw up on that one was a picture of a chaplain and a basketball team praying before one of their games. And I thought that just was a beautiful picture in a round where we come together in mutuality. So keep that picture in mind as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Here's the next verse of that scripture. Verse 9 simply says, "Hallowed be your name." Now let me stop there. The disciples had traveled with Jesus. Many of them knew the Jewish prayers. God was already hallowed before this moment. So have you ever wondered why Jesus would ask them to speak, "Hallowed be your name, O God"? If you ever wondered, here's what this really means. It means, God, manifest your holiness. To be hallowed is to be set apart, to be holy, to be special. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're not just praying words. We are asking God, manifest your holiness across this land. God, we believe you will do it now, so much so, oh God, that your kingdom will come on earth now as it is in heaven. Maybe if we really believed that prayer, our actions and our expectations of what God will do will begin to change. Because every time we pray, we are saying, Lord, we are ready for you to do something extraordinary. God, even if we don't see it yet, even if it seems like after this week, there is no way your kingdom will happen, God, we expect you to do it now. And if not us as people of faith really believing that, then who? If not right now in our country, then when will we pray this prayer? If not us, who knows what this country will become? To pray this prayer is an act of faith that God will do something extraordinary in the midst of our politics. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Notice that in verse 11, Jesus takes an interesting turn. And Jesus tells his disciples, here's what you pray now. Give us today our daily bread. Now, I imagine the disciples saying, really? We're just talking about God and now we're talking about bread? What does that have to do with anything? Jesus says, hold on. Here's the significance of bread. Even in the midst of challenging times, we need to just keep living. And so Jesus says, I'm not just concerned about your spiritual life, and that's important. I'm also concerned about your daily needs, which is bread. Now, in this time in history, it took a lot to make a pan of bread. Anybody make cornbread in a skillet? Most of the bread was made in just a skillet where the women would have to go and draw water and would have to chaff wheat and would have to put a lot of work in to make a pan of bread. And so Jesus realized they couldn't just go to Price Chopper or Hy-Vee and get sliced bread. It took work. It took an act of courage, even in challenging times, to get up, to go and draw water, to go and grind wheat to make the bread that each one of us needs to live. Sometimes we over-spiritualize this prayer, but know that Jesus knew that we needed to just keep eating bread. It's a sign that Jesus knows that there are some who don't have enough bread to eat. There are those who are hungry and who are hurting. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, give us today whose daily bread? Our daily bread. Say that with me. Our daily bread. It is an act of courage. We want everyone to be able to eat just as we are. Every person to be able to go to Price Chopper and Hy-Vee just as we do. Again, there are no individual petitions in this prayer. This is an our prayer. In the midst of a week of great division, our continues to bring us back together in spirit and in even in the bread that we eat. But Jesus doesn't stop there. The prayer says, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Jesus was concerned with their finances. Really, Jesus? We were just talking about God. Now bread, now money? That seems scandalous. Imagine Jesus even cares about our bank accounts. Jesus knew that in the midst of the Roman Empire, there was extreme taxation on the poor. That the rich kept getting richer and the poor kept getting poorer. And so Jesus, in the midst of that, said, "And forgive us our debts." Imagine if that is our work. Work of forgiveness where debts are owed. Because God first forgave us. If we want love and forgiveness extended to us, it's out of first extending that love and forgiveness to others. But Jesus didn't stop there. So there is our Father. There is holiness, God, do it now. There is bread for everyone. There is the forgiveness of debts. And Jesus ends with this: "And lead us not into temptation." Now know that Jesus was teaching this to his disciples. You mean that the disciples were tempted? That the disciples were just like you and me? Yes. Jesus knew that they would be tempted to give up the struggle. They would be tempted to accept the status quo and begin to serve the Roman Empire. Jesus knew that in the midst of challenge, we too are tempted to give up the struggle, to take the easy way out, to retreat into our own camps, and to segregate ourselves. And Jesus reminds the disciples and reminds us that the challenge of this day is to not give in to the temptation, to become hardened in heart, and to follow CNN all day long and forget that there's a whole world waiting for us to shower love upon. There is darkness. This scripture calls it the evil one, which will pull us to the dark side. Do you know what that feels like? To have those moments on the dark side, where everything just looks bleak and there is no hope. Jesus says, "I know you will be tempted to give up hope, but don't. Because greater is the God that lives in and through us than anything we see in this world." So let me challenge us as we go forth this week. To be the church, the essence of it is to treat the people's needs, our needs, as holy. This gospel ultimately is about people, not about the empire, not about politics. It is about people. And here are four challenges. I want to invite you to write these down. Make a note in your phone. Take a picture of the screen. We are called to bring the people's needs before God. To pray the Lord's Prayer is to bring the people's needs before God. Not just my needs, but the people of this country. Leaders and followers, poor and rich, black and white, young and old, conservative and liberal, we bring the people's needs before God in prayer. When we can pray about other people's needs, our heart begins to open. This picture that you see next to the words is a picture of our daughter, Alexis. She's 4 years old, and she'll tell you, "I'm not a baby anymore. I'm a big girl." And the girl that she's hugging is Stella, one of her friends. Alexis and Stella know nothing but friendship and love. They don't know black and white. They don't know conservative or liberal. All they know is fun and love. Maybe it's their example that we need in a time like this. Maybe out of love, Alexis learns to pray for Stella And Stella learns to pray for Alexis because that's who we are at our best. The second challenge is to serve those most in need with reverence and special care. This week, many people have been wounded. Whether that's the feeling that we have or not, our call as a people of faith is to serve those who most need it right now. It's a time of triage. Are there any nurses or doctors here or listening and watching? The essence of triage is to treat the ones who need the most help first. That's what we do as people of faith. We bring the needs before God. We serve those most in need. We ask the question, what's best for the masses? No matter who wins each election, the work of the people of God has not changed. We still must ask the question, not what's best just for me, but for our country. That's the heart in which we pray out of. And finally, we give voice to the voiceless. It is a privilege to be able to stand in front of you this morning. It is a privilege to be able to get on social media and share a message. It is a privilege to have money to do the things that we want to do. But there are many people who are crying out today, who feel they have no voice. Our job as the people of God is to give voice to those who feel voiceless. When we can hear and speak, when we can love and give, we will find our way forward together as one people called by God in a time such as this. Let me leave you with one last scripture, which is printed on the yellow sheets if you're here and also on our screens. And it's from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Hear these words. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we thank you that you have blessed us, O God. And so we have been called now to bless others. God, you said in your word, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So God, we pray that that blessing would come forth this morning and always. God, you said you would bless those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God, you said, bless those who are merciful, for we will be shown mercy. God, make us the people of God. Open up our hearts, O God, to be who you have called us to be. God, we know that if we continue to seek your way, that we can make this country and this world what you call it to be. And so together, God, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.